Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome back to the show. It's a great pleasure to reintroduce Mr. David Lenegas, Chairman, UK Oil and Gas, Rare Earth Minerals and AFRI Ag. Morning to you, young David.
Morning, Moose.
Cricket. Let's kick off with that, right? Who's going to win this summer?
There's only one answer to that. It's about time you guys started hitting some runs.
We better talk about oil. Right, somebody's made up a little ditty last night. There's gas, there's Shell gas, and there's Lenny gas. I thought that was pretty clever.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's a bit of an ass to come out with that one.
Well, I thought that was quite good. You appeared on the show June and September of last year. You tweeted out yesterday the only UK exclusive interview on Horse Hill since the Schlumberger RNS.
Schlumberger.
That's better. Thank you. Specialised subject, barrels of oil under the world in Sussex. Little known fact, the first gas well in the UK was drilled in Sussex. I didn't know that. Wells were drilled in 1895 in Heathfield to provide water for a hotel and railway station. They also encountered gas. Since then, over 2,000 oil and gas wells have been drilled in the UK and over 200 of them have been fracked. Again, that was news to me. Large parts of Sussex sit on the top of the well basin with the British Geological Society estimate contain 4.4 billion barrels of oil in its shale layer. So that's what I read. That was my homework. All interesting stuff.
No, it's good homework.
Zach, over to you.
Right, the last interview was in November, and I think the market seemed to have been sort of losing a bit of faith in terms of what was around Horse Hill, Gatwick and that area. I gave the benefit of the doubt and got sort of social media stick for it. But would you say that, you know, things have actually improved since then? What's your take on the whole perception?
Well, nothing's really changed. I mean, what we set out to do was drill a well next to a previous Esso oil show find where they've actually drilled two wells in Horse Hill in the early 60s. And that's Lee 1 and Collardie and Farm 1. And, they hit good indications, or good shows of oil, as they call it, in the Portland. And we went out to drill one of the deepest wells in that part of England for decades. But what we were trying to do with this well was to drill it using the world's most modern, up-to-date techniques. And the well went pretty much on plan. The technology that was used took longer and is a lot more expensive, and it takes a while to interpret and process that sort of technology. What's now used, which people didn't use sort of 10, 20 years ago.
Right. So
nothing's really changed, Zach.
Okay, but
the optimism's always been there from our side.
But the big numbers that you read in the press in terms of what's under there, presumably some of it will be recoverable. And the only other barrier is obviously the cost of recovering it.
Well, I mean, the concept of recoverability is really dependent on the flow testing work that we're going to be doing. If you look at the Weald Basin, and Moose mentioned it earlier, there's quite a number of producing wells in the Weald Basin still today. I mean, we have four producing wells in the Weald at Avingdon, Horndean, Brockham and Lidsey, which is just off the Weald Basin. So, those wells have been producing in the Weald now for 30 or 40 years. So there is oil in the Weald. From a recoverability perspective, that is really dependent on the flow test work. And what we've done is we've been working with global groups like NewTek and now Schlumberger to assess the potential around Horse Hill 1 well and how that impacts on the Horse Hill licences and sort of the general region. And they are the world's best at working out the best way to complete and flow test these sorts of projects and how best to put a development plan together.
Well, there's a lot of jargon there which normal people in the street won't be able to understand, but if you're a shareholder in the several companies which are related
with the syndicate, we call it, brave people who raise the money to go and drill a well in England when people basically don't want wells drilled in England.
Right, in terms of, we understand there's a lot down there. And there is.
Be careful. There's a lot of oil in place within the structure.
Yes, exactly. So I was going to go on and say, is there any guess now? We've had two decent reports saying there's sizable potential there. How much? What sort of percentage can we actually get into out of the ground?
Zach, it's too early to say that.
Well, there'll be new surveys to give us an indication of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the flow test.
Yeah. So that's.
I mean, until you actually flow test, and then you go and drill, further wells and maybe horizontal drilling or whatever, our experts advise the sort of next steps that we can get through from the government's perspective with respect to future well planning. It's a process and it all takes time, particularly onshore UK.
Right. So maybe a year down the line, we'll have a better view.
After the first flow test, we'll have a lot better view. And what we've also sort of been working with the knowledge that we've now got from from these two major groups, is where we actually want to flow test. I mean, when we first drilled the well, the easy thing was, look, we found some oil in the Portland. It's looking great. The Portland is a quite pervasive producer of oil in the Weald Basin anyway. And obviously there'll be different testing regimes for different types of structures. But we've found oil in a lot of the structures, oil in place in a lot of the structures, in the Horse Hill 1 well, from in the Jurassic all the way from the Portland all the way down through the Lias. I mean, there's a lot of zones to now test.
But recoverability could be anywhere between, let's say, 5% and 80% of what.
Well, if you look at the NewTek report, they had some analogies. Because a lot of this stuff, you compare basins to other basins where people are already sort of having, dealt experiences with. And, NewTek came up with some numbers of potential recoverability, but at the end of the day, it's still just potential until you actually conduct the flow tests.
Right, you can't commit any comment any comment at all.
No.
So
Zach, I'm a mining engineer, not a petroleum guy. Now, if you had Steve Sanderson or some of the other guys sitting in this seat, they might be able to give you a bit more of an articulate answer to that. But I actually can't answer it. It's not in my field of expertise.
Right. This obviously in the last few months, I did tweet to you that don't forget us when you're famous. And obviously this has raised hopes. And you haven't, obviously, because you've come back on the show. But it has raised the game in terms of the whole, the UK. This is a game changer, potentially a game changer for the UK. It could change.
Well, that was the message I tried to get out on the 9th of April. When we put out the NewTek results of the Horse Hill 1 results, one of the key messages, one of the key findings that we've found in this well, and this is in the news releases and in the public domain, is that the original assessment going back to Moose's BGS results of the potential of the oil in place in the Weald, is no one ever thought that the Jurassic sequences in the Weald were mature enough to be oil hosting. And the work that Steve Sanderson, and who's the CEO of UCOG, and the people who've been working with him have sort of determined, is that the whole structure has been uplifted by about 5,000 feet, which means that where potentially the Weald could have been mature has actually been lifted up into something that's a lot more gainable. We're talking oil in place coming in at around about sort of 2,000 plus feet. The original models were derived on really old data using old technology. There hasn't been a lot of wells drilled in the Weald, full stop. I mean, we've been looking at from UCOG's perspective, what wells have been with NewTek and with Schlumberger in the last couple of months, what wells have been drilled and what sort of information is available from those wells. And the logging techniques that are used today are completely different from the logging techniques used even 10 days ago. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Windows didn't even exist. I mean, it was all done manually. So, the potential is significantly different because the models have changed. And if you look at the Schlumberger news release that UCOG put out, even Schlumberger, who have done previous work in the Weald, say that the knowledge that they've now got from Horse Hill 1 well rewrites a lot of their original thinking as well, which is one of the reasons why Schlumberger is working with us to assess not only the Horse Hill 1, the Horse Hill licenses, but around Horse Hill, to work out what the potential oil in place is for the Weald Basin.
Right.
In a wider sense.
Okay, I mean, the people watching the show, probably most of them are sort of obsessed by share prices. Do you think that in general, the market has got a fair assessment at these valuations for UCOG and the other companies? Do you think it's got a fair, is it a fair reflection of what is going on there?
Zach, it's not my job to determine the share price. My job is to run the business. We've got some great people. We've got some of the world's leading consultants working on it. We're just going to keep going. You guys work out what the share price does. I mean, this market is a strange place. I mean, it is controlled by market makers, long shorts, margin traders. I mean, you write for Spreadbet. The market is a strange place. And if I even tried to put my head around the market these days, you're just going to call it wrong. So, Zach, we just keep working with the plan. We've got two of the world's biggest groups, particularly in this sort of field working with us. And, you know, our view is the more independent views you get, it's good science. You know, we're talking a rewrite of something that is historically, by the BGS, been regarded as being locked in concrete. You know, if you're going to come up with a different model, then you need to have good science behind it.
Yeah, just the obvious question. Oil price obviously tumbled from the autumn. you called the low in the oil price earlier this year.
I'm not an expert on that, but I just sort of
got it right.
Well, no, I also said that the oil price would be back up to Brent by the end of sort of March or April, I think, at about $70. I nearly got there.
Yeah, it was quite impressive. I didn't believe you at the time. I thought, well, you let the man speak and see what he does, you know. But in terms of the oil price affecting, does it affect the project?
No. Look, we're going to proceed with this project because this is a project for the longer term, right? If I was worried about the oil price, I would have stopped. But what a low oil price has done is it's enabled us to be more acquisitive on more projects in the world. You know, our Northern Petroleum acquisition brought us into a lot of licenses in the world. It also brought us into production. I mean, most people still seem to forget that UK oil and gas investments is actually an oil producer here in the UK. Now, our stated objective is to focus on the Weil Basin in production and exploration. So it just created opportunities for us. I mean, I can't remember the exact number. I think we've put in a news release since UK oil and gas was renamed from its old defunct Shell. We've done 23 acquisitions in 18 months in the south of England. And you know, there's no reason why we're not going to stop pursuing the concept of getting a bigger exposure in the south of England. That's our mandate.
Presumably some of the people who you bought off would now be kicking themselves in terms of...
Well, they do it for their own corporate reasons. You know, Northern were focusing on other things. You know, I put an offer on the table, they accepted it. You know, some of the other players that we've taken, you know, increased holdings in particular bits of acreage in the world, we put an offer on the table that accepted, you know, willing buyer, willing seller. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the low oil price enabled us to do that. If the oil price was still $100 a barrel, we probably wouldn't be sitting here talking about, you know, having eight license areas within the world. And we're still looking at more.
Right. I sort of asked on Twitter for some questions to ask you here today, and one of the most polite one, I think, probably, or the most user-friendly one, is probably, you're involved in many companies, very many different areas. How do you actually cope with that? And, you know, can you fully divide your time?
I'm not CEO of these businesses. I mean, if you look at a way a public company or most companies run, the CEO runs the business. You know, he has a team of people behind him, whether it's consultants, finance people, whatever. My job is I'm typically the chairman of these companies. The silly guy who stands out there and says, guys, you know, this is the project we're going to go for. How are we going to put this together? Put together a team and execute it. Everyone keeps going, how are you splitting all your time with all this stuff? I'm the chairman of this stuff. You know, beneath the chairman level is the operational level. Yeah, as I said earlier, I'm just a humble mining engineer, but I've got some pretty good visions about where I want to see some of these things going, a la rare earth minerals and AFRIAG, and everybody wants it all to happen, you know, yesterday and quickly, because people are typically traders in this, you know, lower end market cap stuff. And if you sit there thinking about traders, you just do your head in. But I have plenty of time because I've got really good lieutenants.
All right, well, let's just go quickly to a couple of
companies. Last question, because we're running out of time.
companies you mentioned. I think you said to me that a while back that AfriAg was possibly your one of the most for the project you're most excited about.
Yeah, AfriAg is proceeding just nicely, thank you. But you know, it's one of those things that's, you know, we're flying product, we're transporting product, we report, you know, growth in the business every 6 months. You know, we report significant things as they come about, but right now it's building a business as you build a normal business. We're very excited about AfriAg, but it's a process and it takes time. And more time than most of your viewers, you know, tend to give it credit for.
All right. Okay, we run out of time. What did Simon English call you in the Sun newspaper? The JR of Sussex, or
I don't know.
Remember that a couple of months ago?
I do, and he wore a hat on his little
remember him
on his thing
hat.
As well. Yeah.
Back to me. Okay, David Denny, Gas Chairman, UK Oil and Gas, Rare Earth Minerals, and AfriAg. Thank you for your time. Let's take a very, very quick break, and then we'll be back with Nicole Elliott, private investor and technical analyst, to talk about the euro dollar, cable, and the Turkish lira. Straight back after the break. Thank you.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.